This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, he scores!
Hello and welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, talking to you live to tape from downtown Glen Burnie, Maryland. And it's another slightly breezy yet sunny afternoon here, Sunday afternoon here in the state of Maryland. And hope you're listening well, UCAPS fans, wherever you be, in, of course, the state of Maryland, the Commonwealth of Virginia, and the District of Columbia, and other parts, as we'll find out here in a minute. Making a surprise appearance, though she is technically on spring break, is the mermaid Anna Knox.
Yes, I'm excited. I didn't think I'd be able to come on tonight, but I am looking forward to both guests. And I know I'm only here for a short time, but happy Sunday, Gail.
Happy Sunday. And so the mermaid has to go back to the Sea Cove. so she will not be joining us for the duration, but we do have a couple very special guests on, and she wanted to pop her head above water and say hello. Okay, so without further ado, let's go ahead and introduce them. One of them, she's actually helping us out big time by creating a Zoom meeting. We're doing things a little bit different. So if the audio is a little bit different, a little bit off, apologies for that, but that would be why. This guest, we've had her on before very recently for Women's History Month. And I think if you listen to the show, you'll remember her very well and be glad that she's back again to offer her insights on the Caps. It's Cheryl Ann Forster, affectionately known around these parts as C4. Why? Because she blows up my phone. C4, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, thank you. And I've actually been pretty good about not blowing up your phone recently.
It was said in love, and actually I don't mind at all, because it means somebody out there is paying attention not only to the Caps but to the show. So you feel free to message me anytime you want.
Well, I was on spring break a couple weeks ago myself, and then I was just a little too frustrated to put things nicely, so I figured I'd keep my mouth shut.
Well, you don't even have to do that, as we say.
You'll learn.
Oh, I know. I'm aware.
You are very much allowed to speak your mind however you want to put it. So,
and back it up.
No restrictions on the show, except, you know, don't be an idiot. Just present yourself and back it up. So, happy to have you on, of course. And the other guest, a very special one tonight, calling in from all the way from Kilkarney in Fife, Scotland. Did I say that right, Mr. Green?
Kilkaldy.
I knew I'd mess that up.
Kilkarney's in Ireland.
There's kind of a running joke around these parts, and it's kind of like, are you going to be in the Kilkaldy? And it's if you kind of break it down. So it's kind of a running joke around these parts. So you guys probably might not get it, but it's something to throw out there. So
that's awesome.
As you can hear, it is the gentleman from the Scottish Caps Fan Podcast and creator of the Capital Society Facebook page. It is Mr. Grant Green. Grant, hell of a favor you're doing us tonight by joining us and gracing us with your presence. Thank you so much for coming on, sir.
It's a pleasure to be on. You guys, I was big fan of the show, so I always listen to it when I can, and just, yeah, it's good to be on and just getting to chat Caps.
Love it.
Awesome. And so I don't know if you caught our last episode, but it was also a kind of a roundtable style type of thing. So all of us gents had a good time with that. So I think you're in for a hell of a ride this time around. Again, glad to have you on. I know you got some very strong, very insightful opinions about the Caps. Can't wait to hear.
Great to be on.
All right. Okay, so let's get into it. Well, pardon me. It didn't start off very well for our Washington Capitals, but it actually turned out to be a very good week. 4 games, 3 wins in regulation, 1 loss in regulation. And so not so bad all in all, but again, not a very good start. I would like to say I want to draw a line through this first game that was played, but I did notice a lot of bad things that I thought the Caps had kind of gotten rid of as far as bad habits. So let's.
And I was there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, even better. So we have somebody who witnessed it firsthand. Okay. So let's quickly run through the scoring summary. First period. Okay. You knew it was going to be bad. 36 seconds. I say again, 36 seconds in. Jewel, don't call me Joel. Jewel Erickson Ek.
Strike one.
With his 20th, 36 seconds in. Personally, I thought, both of the first two goals, Vanecek should have stopped or could have done a better job with. The defense let themselves get split, and Ek went through and got the initial shot, and it looked like Vanecek had it, but he let the rebound try. He let go a rebound, and the second try squirted through his legs, and he just didn't have the proper coverage to get it. So I thought he should have had that one back. Second one was exactly 1 minute, 1 second later. No, not you. Okay. So the app is, wow. This app is the Tyson Yost, newly acquired Tyson Yost, gets his first as a wild. Wild card. I never understood that name. Wild. What is a wild? What is a wild? Anyway, his 7th of the year, first as a member of the Wild.
There we go.
So, this one, a wrister. Vanecek, not exactly the best positioning here. I guess this was the basis why there was a rekindling of the so-called goalie controversy. We'll talk about that later. It was literally all downhill from the opening faceoff. Erickson Ek got another one, making it 3-0 in the second. Third period, Marcus Foligno, 30 seconds in the third. Only saving grace was Garnet Hathaway with his 11th, and he literally had it bounce off his skate while he was doing looked like he was trying to do a triple axel or something.
Yeah.
And the Caps emptied their net and they let up an empty netter. So 5-1 game. Yeah, not good. And so the worst part, I guess, was the defense only gave up 19 shots on goal and yet 5 goals were scored. 4 if you don't count that empty netter. So like I said, I think coach saw this and figured, okay, well, we need something here from the goalies. And it just, I don't know, just wasn't clicking this game. Sometimes, it doesn't pay to get out of bed. Maybe this was one of those games, but, I'm not going to say it was all Vanecek's fault, but I didn't see much effort from the Caps skaters either, to be honest.
When you've got 13 giveaways, it doesn't matter how many shots on goal you have. You're not
very true.
That battle.
Very, very true. Let me go ahead and double confirm that. Yes. They did have 13 giveaways as opposed to 2-1-2 for the Wild. So
Control the puck, you're not going to score goals.
Right. So it kind of tells you who was trying and who wasn't.
And I'm not convinced there were 25 hits on our side either.
Well, even though the official count says that, but to be honest, I agree with you, C4. There, I just didn't see that amount of action total, let alone from the Caps. So I'm not sure where they got that count from. all around, just a really bad game on all sides, I think, not just the goalies. But again, the goalies could have played any better. Grant, did you happen to catch this game?
I didn't, just purely the fact that it's been a kind of last couple of months has been a whirlwind ride. Hardly been catching any games at midnight just with my late dad. So it was good to catch the two early games this weekend. But with obviously myself getting into a relationship with Megan, she's kind of really gotten into the hockey side of things. Obviously, you guys met when she was across.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, if there's a game on, we'll kind of keep, if we get up in the toilet through the night or something, or wake up, we'll kind of like check the scores, and it's kind of like Megan will wake me up and be like, you don't want to see what the score is, or can you guess the score? And I'm just like, no. So the last couple of times, it's been a bit of a disaster. So I'm just like, don't even talk to me during the night, but I will find out in the morning. So yeah, I mean, like, we always watch the highlights kind of with our breakfast, but I always kind of find from the highlights, you don't get the full gist of the game. You only see the highlights, obviously. But yeah, it's kind of hard to pick up a 60-minute game from 10 minutes highlights, but you kind of in the morning you read the gist, like what's been happening with the fans, and it's just like you said, like you get these games where it does kind of, some nights it just doesn't click, some nights it's just you don't want to get out of bed, and it's just, yeah, but it's how you come back from them, I feel, and they came back pretty strong, and especially kind of this weekend as well, so it was good to see two matinee wins, but we'll get to that later on in the podcast, I dare say.
Definitely. Anna, did you happen to catch any of this game?
Oh, I did, unfortunately. Yes. And I will say, I think I just cringe every time we are less than a minute into the dropping the puck in the first, and they score. And then we have another one. And it's just like, okay, they just seemed off. And I will say that I appreciated TJ Oshie's interview where he basically said, like, you know, it sounded like they kind of had their come to Jesus locker room moment after that game to say, like, enough already. Like, let's
about time. They should have been having that a while ago.
100% agree. And that's what's so like frustrating is when you'll be like, why does it have to be, you know, so late in the season? But come on, like they had it and it's like, okay, but I don't know. They just seemed, it should have been a win. And it wasn't. And I thought they looked awful. Did not care for this game. And I don't know if it changes my opinion of the goalie situation. That's a really tough one. And I'm sorry I won't be here later on in the podcast to participate in that. But this was just a shit game.
No, agreed. All around, top to bottom. As I said, I don't think anybody really had that great of a game, and nobody looked all that good. They were just out of it. They did not seem ready to play. And, you know, the only thing I would say to Caps fans is if you pin this all on the goalies, then you did not really watch the game, because there were lapses all around. There were things gone wrong at both ends of the ice, not just in front of the goal crease. So, you guys that are quick to blame the goalies, I beg you, please start paying attention to the whole game, to the rest of the game, not just what happens in front of the net.
That happens there. Like, those kind of games really happen to every team right throughout the league. I mean, like, I think it'll be quite hard to pick out a team who's really doing well and doesn't have kind of like a shit in the bed moment as it is. And you know, it's I prefer it to come now rather than in any sort of cup run, whether it be an early cup run or a deep cup run. So, you know, I'm kind of glad they're getting all these creases out there now, which is kind of what it's been going towards the whole season. I feel it's kind of like, yeah, we've not had that great a season, but let's try and make something off the playoffs, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely agree. And so I didn't want to draw it, just simply dismiss this game because, as Anna mentioned, the end result was the guys finally waking up and saying, hey, look, players only meeting, let's shut the door, let's air it all out, let's figure out what the hell's going on, get our asses out of our heads, or whatever you want to call it.
Heads out of your asses.
That too. And
I've been screaming at Koozie all year for the record.
Start playing Caps hockey the way we know we can, and yep. and just get it, start getting it done. And well, it must have worked because, this game was against a team that was, has been in a bit of a tailspin, surprisingly enough. And that's the Tampa Bay Lightning. But even so, I don't think many had the Caps to win, much less be as competitive as they were. But it was a good win against the defending champs. I think it was a very well played, hard fought game on all sides. So let's run down the scoring. 5-10 into the first. We've all loved the whole year. Wears number 42, scores his sixth. What's his name, Grant?
Martin Fittipaldi.
I was at that game, too.
If Cortina's listening, she's going to have loved that bit. That's all she kept on. When me and Megan were across in January, that's all she kept on saying was just like piping up every time you hit the plate, every time you got the puck, it was just Fittipaldi.
Go ahead.
No, no, on you go.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm thinking of signing up to have the, we may already be there, but I'm thinking of signing up the podcast to be played on Spotify or some service like that. Only they want you to submit a trailer. And I'm thinking nice. Now that we finally got you on, Grant, and you've said that, I think I'm going to make that part of the trailer.
Yeah.
On your ringtone.
Yeah.
Even better. Yeah. So
that'd be amazing.
Yeah, it would. So the Slovakian defender scores his sixth of the year, assisted ably by Mr. John Carlson, more on him later, and Connor Sherry. Speaking of John Carlson, he would score 2 minutes later on the power play, his 12th of the year. Kuznetsov and Nicholas Backstrom on the assist for that one. Okay, so basically, before I go any further, yes, I've been hard on John Carlson. Yes, I still, unfortunately, want him out of town for, if anything, to get rid of that salary, not because he's 100% bad, although he could play defense a little bit better since that is his position. But no, I don't think he's a 100% bad player. I just wish we weren't paying him as much to score these kinds of goals and then skate 100 feet and stand still. But that's just my opinion. So, look, I'm going to call it as I see it. You guys are welcome to do the same, but you guys know how I feel about 74.
Yeah, I'm firmly in Gil's camp here with that. Like just over the last couple of seasons, just seen him, especially that year he was making the attempt for the Norris Trophy. I would have loved for him to win it, but at times it was kind of like, I think he forgets his position. And then you're wrong, like, be that type of offensive player, but your primary role as a D-man is to be back there a lot. And just the amount of times, and I always remember that game with Malkin just skated. Malkin had Carlson on the run, and it was just like Carlson wasn't even there, and obviously like the goal. And it's just one of those standout moments that just seen, man. It's just like, you know, like if you were in the correct position, you would have had a better chance to have taken him on. But, you know, that's just one goal, it's one game. But, like, yeah, I'm firmly with Gil here. You look at the salary cap, the salary that he suffered, and you're just like, ouch, this is what we're getting for this type of play. And it's just, yeah, I think there could be there's better guys down at Hershey that you could be bringing up, but that's a conversation for another day. So,
right. Yeah. I'm sort of with Gil too. I mean, in terms of a pure defensive player, that he is not that as much as he should be. He is a very good offensive defenseman, but it's kind of funny. He almost acts like he wants to play wing. And there's a part of me, I was joking around, I think it was Lynn a couple of weeks ago, you know what? What would happen if they put John Carlson on wing and let him actually play offense? What would he do?
He'd start getting good at playing defense.
I mean, thought I had, but it's just like, you know. But, I mean, he had not been playing well for several games, and he did play very well that night. I was at that game as well. And, he, you know, in preview, he actually did play fairly well today. So he's sort of redeeming himself a little bit. Like maybe he heard us talking about him and like, oh, maybe I better, you know, wake up and actually do what I'm supposed to do.
He is one player that does blow hot and cold, and it annoys me because he scores some absolute beautiful goals.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And other times it's just like he's not even there when we're in the defense. It's just that's what's the frustrating part, you know? Like,
yeah, that's true.
It's just. It's like for somebody eating so much of the salary cap, he blows hot and cold way too much. He's too much of an inconsistent player. When he's playing well on defense, he's playing well on defense. But when he's not, it's like he's not even on the ice, in my opinion. But that's just mine.
And I'll be the first to admit, he does have worth, and he can play his position very, very well. And I think, just like Cheryl kind of alluded to, he's working his way back to being the 2018 John Carlson that helped them win the cup. And as long as he keeps on trending in that direction, I think he'll be just fine. But the problem is he worth keeping long-term, for one? The answer to that is no. And the problem is, can he keep that up long term? The answer to that is also no, because he's on the wrong side of 30. So, we're going to get what we get out of him for the rest of this year. But I mean, I would strongly advise, looking into whatever deal can be made for him. And even though, look, I'll admit he's having a great, great week. Let's see if he can keep it up. I sincerely hope he does for our sake, but I don't know. I just don't know. Okay, so moving on with the game summary. Kucherov, the ever-dangerous Nikita Kucherov, assisted by Victor Hedman, gets his 14th, making it 2-1. And then Alex Ovechkin, the captain, gets his 43rd, assisted again by Carlson and Kuznetsov, this time with the snapper, making it 3-1, 15-10 still in the first period. And then a guy I've never heard of, Nicholas Paul. I always wonder about the people who have first names for your first and last names. That just seems kind of weird to me. Steven Stamkos and Jan Ruda with the assists on that one, making it 3-2 Caps. Thus ended the first period. Caps get another power play. And guess who? John Carlson again with a wrister, this time making it 4-2. This turned out to be the game winner. No scoring until the third. Late power play gotten by the Lightning. Guy who was a pissing me off the whole game with the way he was playing. Ross Colton, with his irritating physical play, reminded me of a guy I used to know named Esa Tikkanen. Sergachev and Patrick Maroon with the assists. What a Maroon. Like I said, power play goal, 17-10, but the Caps shut the door after that, thank goodness. First star of the game, of course, John Carlson. Why not? Because he drove the offense like Jim Clark drives an F1. Hope you Scotsmen out there picked up that reference.
Yeah, I was just picking that up. I was like, is he doing it? He is.
And number one star, and Ovechkin, the number two star, and Colton, the third star. We don't care. vital stats, 28 shots on goal each, kind of an average game as far as that goes. Caps did surprisingly well at the dot, 55% almost. Yeah. 2-for-5 on the power play. Power play, special teams, has been pretty awesome. Not just the power play, but today's game, which we'll get to, against the Bruins, the announcer said something like Caps had killed like the last 16 out of their last 17, which has been the best in the last 2 months or something like that. So
yeah,
amazing. Absolutely amazing. Surprisingly physical game. Hit counts were both above 30 on both ends.
Yeah. There was a lot of hitting that night.
Yeah. It was surprisingly
play better when we hit more.
Well, see, now I'm of two minds about that. Sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes if the hit count's pretty high and the shot count doesn't correspond, there's no response to that, then no, they're only into the hitting. But if they get the hit and then they go the other way and the shot count matches that, that's what you got to look for. So yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, if the hit count, yeah, always look for that. If the hit count is high, but the shot count doesn't go up with it, then yeah, the Caps are playing the game one way, and that, yeah, that's not going to bode well.
But especially a team like Tampa, they are not generally a physical team. So you want to see that hit count a little higher because it throws them off.
Yeah, and very true. And surprisingly enough, they actually out-hit the Caps 37-30 for this game.
Well,
so,
I don't know about that, but
well,
again, I don't know.
I know. I'm just going by what the counter said. But it was a very physical game on both sides, and you could see that Tampa came to this game very much full of piss.
Because, they were ready to play.
Because they had, like I said, they were in a bit of a tailspin. They'd been losing. They'd fallen all the way down to the first wild card spot, and they were pissed. For sure.
Oh, yeah.
Anna, did you catch any of this game?
I did. I'm so sorry. I'm going to have to jump right after this. Not that anyone needs to hear my opinion, but no, I did. Even on spring break, I saw all the games, and I was ready for this one because I felt like after that wild game, and then hearing or seeing, you know, what Oshie said in the locker room, this was it. It was kind of like they're a ride or die kind of situation. You're either going to come out, you're given 110%, or you're just going to be like, hey, it was a great season and we're done. And they rallied and they played hard because also I agree with what you guys just said, that Tampa Bay came out ready to just kick ass from the beginning. And so good. We needed to come out and play 60 minutes as well. And I think it was, and look at who they're going up against. I mean, it's, you know, so that's, I think, what the Capitals needed for the rest of the, you know, for the Pens game and for today's game, you know, going up against, you know, Stanley Cup winners.
Cup caliber. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
But, you know,
yeah,
it's, that's what I mean. It's like, you know, you're going to play a game like the Wild, and which should have been a win, and it was awful, and they looked like shit, and the chemistry was off, and then have a little, you know, locker room moment and some great practices, which sounded like Oshie was really positive, and then just getting that right mindset and come in and take on the Lightning. And yes, I know it had like an overtime, but it was, you know, that's what they needed. And it's like, I'm such a big supporter of like ride that wave, because then we start seeing more relaxed players, not relaxing their game, but just relaxed, not trying so hard, not
they're actually playing hockey instead of trying to think about what they're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah, you always feel it gets to a point where it gets,
yep,
with the tactics, with the moves, with what they're doing on the ice, you always feel it gets to a point where it's getting too complicated, and sometimes you just need to reset and go back to the basics and then start building it once again and building it back up to that level. And I think that's been a problem for the Caps this year. There seems to be a lot of frustration within the plays. That's the thing I've noticed massively. And it just, once they get back to those basics, that's when they start to do things. They start to win games, they start to get good breaks. But yeah, it's just that it's getting that right attitude, and I believe that's a big factor. And like you say, like getting the players only meeting, having that, and it's had the right impact here. It's not we've moved forward, we've not stayed in the same position, we've not moved backwards. So yeah, I like what I've seen from this. So
yeah,
hopefully they continue it on.
And I like who's scoring. I mean, and I know, like I said, I'm sorry, I got to jump off. It really sucks, but it's like, I like who's on. We'll always, you know, we all know I love Wilson, but God damn, this is like game has just been fantastic. And Ovechkin chasing, that's fine. But you know, you've got others out there, and it's like seeing Tiger today and everything else. I've been really, I was really pumped at these last couple of games. So yeah, hopefully they'll just continue. And I guess we'll see what happens on Tuesday night.
Megan's fallen deeply in love with 43. Cause even before we got back to the UK, Megan was like, I want a Tom Wilson jersey. So I was like, you want a Tom Wilson jersey? I want an Federvati jersey, so there we go. So,
there you go.
Got the order from Canada, and they arrived back, I think, couple of weeks later. So yeah, so Megan was very happy at that. So
I adore her already.
She gets very defensive of Robson, so it's quite funny.
I do too, because my God, like, he is so hated and God, that Pittsburgh game, and then luckily they played home today. But man, if he was in Boston, they've got his number for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, when me and Megan went up to Boston for the Boston game, you know what? Like, I was like, probably one of the best games of hockey I've ever witnessed. Like, I was unfortunate we lost, but just the hatred that was coming from the crowd. And you know what? You could just see Wilson was like feeding on it. And we were feeding on it, because there were quite a few caps in the stadium that night. And just, yeah, it was just, it's like, if you stop talking about it, like, you probably won't do as much. But the fact that everybody just keeps feeding the fire, and it's like, yes, this is, keep doing it. This is what we feed off of it, you know. He's not there to make friends. He's not there to be other players' best pals. He's there to slam guys into the boards and score goals. And however he does that, you know.
Bring on the pain train.
Exactly. I just don't get it. It's just like, you know, I've got rent-free and all that, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's it. Well, Gil, I'm going to let you guys continue. I wish we had more time. It's always fantastic. Grant, I am offering condolences for your loss, but I know that we're not going to talk about that. But I have been thinking about you and your family.
Thank you very much. And it's nice to hear your voice as well again.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And next time I think you're doing a 2023 trip out here or something.
Hopefully this year as well. We're just waiting on the fixture, what's coming out in July, and we're going to maybe even plan a week trip across November, December, see what the fixture lists are like. So yeah,
nice,
definitely. Awesome. Now that things have reopened, thank God. Oh, but anyway, yes. I'll let you get off.
All right. Well, thank you. Have a fantastic show, guys. Thank you so much for calling in, and we'll talk to you all soon. Take care.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yes. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. So that was the mermaid who making a surprise appearance during spring break. We'll see her next week, of course, for the next week of shows. Previews are coming, attractions coming later when we're done with the recaps here. Speaking of which, let's move on to the next game. This, I thought, was the best of the four games played. So naturally, we're going to go through this very quickly because there were 9 goals scored. It was against the Penguins just yesterday. Brian Rust, him and Gensel always seem to do well against us. His 24th, 45 seconds, yet another bizarro McNugget minute goal. 45 seconds in, Gensel, there's that guy again, and Malkin on the assist for that one. And I'm sure a lot of us were thinking, oh, no. Yeah, here we go again. And then 16 seconds later, Marcus Johansson gets his first in his second stint as a cap, unassisted, ties it 1-1 on a deflection. Here's what I don't understand. If it's a deflection, how can it be unassisted? So I'm going to pop up the replay a little bit. Maybe it was
deflected off a defenseman or something.
Yeah, maybe it was a clearing attempt by the.
Turn phone on mute.
Okay, so it was actually one of our guys behind the net that flung it towards the net, and it hit off you. Okay, so TJ Oshie. Okay, I see what happened. TJ Oshie was behind the net, flung it out in the slot, and it bounced off one of their defensemen, and Johansson happened to be in front to collect the rebound off of that guy. And he put it in. Okay, so that's what happened there. I don't know if you call that a deflection versus a tap-in, but either way, it counts.
He just knew as soon as we replied to their goal 16 seconds later, like, me and Megan were both watching it because it was a nice early game. And it was so good just to watch a game of hockey again. And I was like, you could just tell you were in for a roller coaster of a game. You're like, this is going to be end-to-end stuff. And that's exactly what it was for the first period. It was like boom, boom, boom. And it was just so good to watch. Like, I really, I really enjoyed this weekend's hockey, just seeing it and just watching it. And it always helps when the Caps win, of course. So,
Both of the games were extremely exciting, despite, well, in this one, ESPN's attempts to put us to sleep. My God.
That was horrible.
Horrible indeed. But
thank God for the margaritas.
Well,
I was in the bar yesterday watching this one.
It was just even the cameraman workshop was just the angles that were put at. I was like, what?
I was getting busy.
Yeah, like it was.
And that had nothing to do with the margaritas.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who noticed that. Whose idea was it to put a camera angle on top of the bar that holds the safety net? What the hell is that all about?
I just thought it was getting a bit trippy at a few points because I was like, you're not used to this. And I was just like, the angles were just all off. So you couldn't see the way that they were attacking and it just looked funny. And I was like, no, I don't like this. You know, like hockey's been filmed the same way for the last God knows how many years. If it's not broken, don't fix it.
Right?
don't get me wrong. Like, yeah, you should try new things and try and change it up a bit, but try it somewhere else, you know?
Yeah.
It's becoming more and more obvious to me. Sorry about the side tangent, folks. But you on the other side of the earbuds, the speakers, what have you. But it's becoming more and more painfully obvious that ESPN, the people there, don't know how to cover hockey. Mm-hmm. And they only have the contract because money talks and shit walks. We all know, we're all familiar with that saying. But my God, we really should be expecting and receiving better. And okay, so yes, the lethargic Sean McDonough was, I guess, a half a step or a quarter step up and better than Bob Wischusen, who wouldn't know a hockey puck from a ding dong. But even so, the camera angles, like Grant and Cheryl Ann were saying, the camera angles, the lack of enthusiasm, the sideline reporting, it was just all shit. There was no other way to describe it.
It was horrible. There was horrible. Even towards the end when they interviewed Ovechkin saying, why does people hate Tom Wilson so much and he's hating in this building? I was like,
why would you use
that sort of language? You know, like, I think she could have put it over a lot more diplomatic, like, why do people dislike him? I feel hate is a very strong word. And I was like, I was really shocked that they were asking Ovechkin that. And Ovechkin was kind of looking, going, like, what the hell? Like, why are you asking that? But he just deflected it off, like, typical captain style, just saying, yeah, we love him, and that's it.
which is what a good captain does, by the way. And before we go any further about that, it was Emily Kaplan who did that interview. And you know what? I honestly think she was put up to asking that question because I've actually read her columns and there's a lot of thought to those. She's a much better writer than she is an on-air reporter. So, I mean, this may not be her speed. So I think, unfortunately, she ought to stick to writing, but not to denigrate her too much. But yeah, that was a very bad question to ask. It was a very loaded question, and I'm pretty sure she was put up to it by the powers that be, because ESPN is looking for ratings. That's all they care about. That's all they've ever cared about, and they don't know jack about hockey. Never will.
Do you think she would have asked that same question if that was inside Capital One? I don't think so.
Probably not. Probably not.
I think it's get the crowd going, you know. Like, I've experienced the hate that Tom Wilson gets in another state, in another arena. And I think there was definitely that. You could see that really within the crowd, and especially when Bradley was there last night, and he was just saying the amount of hatred that Tom Wilson was getting. So, you know, I think there's the whole thing, like, gearing the crowd up and also appealing to the at-home team as such. You know, like, that'll definitely be the question that a lot of Penguins fans will want to have heard, and especially putting such a difficult question to the captain, you know. So
yeah, that's just not a question you ask. Why does somebody hate somebody else on your team so much? You just don't ask that question. I don't care who
it was extremely out of line, and it was it was, as they say, a rookie mistake, I think. And that's why I think she was put up to ask to it. Not something she came up on her own, but case closed. Yet another proof positive that ESPN, again, shows that it doesn't know anything at all about hockey and never will. And, I thought we had a raw deal with NBC. I'm actually wishing we had them back.
Right.
With all the games I've seen, but we're gonna close the book on that for this podcast and not waste any more time with them. Back to the game and the scoring. Okay. So one of this year's favorites makes it 2-1 for the Caps, Dmitry Orlov, his 11th. Johan Larsson, his first, I believe his first point as a Cap, and Nick Dowd on the assists. Nice snapper from Orlov. And then the wrong 77, Jeff Carter on the Penguins, that is. Rodriguez on the assist. He gets his 17th. Ties it up.
Did that actually go through the front of the net? Because it looked to me, and I looked at the replay, and Subi and I were both looking at it in the bar, and it's like, that didn't go through the front of the net. That looks like it went under the net.
Did you check it with or without the margaritas today?
No, Subi was actually driving, so.
I thought the same as well.
I looked at the replay, and I'm still not convinced it didn't go under the net.
Yeah, there is a certain degree of witchcraft at PPG Arena, I would say, but that's just me.
Well, it is against Pittsburgh, so, you know.
I would not be very surprised at that. But we'll go with the limited capabilities of the NHL app and try to see here. Okay, so swipe and
They showed the back of the net angle. You got to watch all the way to the end.
Well, right. So angle. Yeah, it's okay. So obviously it's in the net, but yeah, right. And Samsonov has a tendency to hit the edges of the net and make it lift up. Yeah, you can't really tell there because Schultz is blocking it. Okay, here's the overhead view.
Yeah, you can't even see
it. We're watching the overhead view, and Samsonov has it. Okay, wow. Yeah, that. Okay, here's the best view. Wait.
Yeah, that's the one you want to watch.
The net can't. Okay, yeah, that's really hard to see because 1 second it's out of the net, and the other second it's not. So I am going to scrub all the way over. Okay, one more time. Okay, no, I saw it. Okay, this was a legit goal. This was a legit. There was a hair, I mean, the tiniest hair of daylight. The way Samsonov covered, and this is something he's got to learn how to do, but the way he was hugging the post, there was still some daylight between the back of his pad and like his knee. And right. You can see the puck squirt through that bit of daylight, hit the top, the back of his pad and his skate, and then fall into the goal.
Okay.
So that's what I'm seeing. So, yeah, I get what you're saying. But, yeah, if you look real, real closely, that's what happened. So it looks like it went straight in as opposed to from the side. So fortunately or unfortunately, a good goal there. And then 1 minute later, I can't believe this guy's still playing. Brian Boyle, his 10th, makes it 3-2 Pittsburgh with 26 seconds left. And you hate to give up a goal this late in the period.
They're the worst.
Absolutely the worst. And you were wondering how the Caps would come back. Well, fortunately, it did not take them very long to not only get a power play, but a power play goal.
Yes.
El Capitano, his 44th on the power play. Nice slapper, typical office type of goal for him. Carlson and Backstrom on the assist, making it 3-3. And then a certain guy that people seem to love to hate, apparently, so says a four-letter network. Tom Wilson gets a nice snapshot goal. This one also is deserving of a replay. Okay, so we'll pick up the action in the Caps end. Penguins turn it over. Wilson picks it up at center, skates past the defense, up the wing, flips the snapper right at the faceoff dot over the shoulder of Tristan Jarry. Goal.
Yeah.
4-3 Caps, which would turn out to be the game winner.
Mm-hmm.
Thank the Lord above. That was 11:35 into the third, and then it was just a matter of the Caps shutting it all down, which they did. to a plum, even though, shot count in the third, 19 for the Caps, 7 for the Penguins. So that tells me they played everything the right way. Penguins decide to pull their goalie when they get another power play. And then Kuznetsov gets an empty netter. And then they decide to pull the goalie again 10 yep. seconds after the next faceoff.
Yeah.
And a certain Slovakian defender would take advantage of the play after getting a pass from Wilson and Carlson. Who would that be, Grant?
Martin Ferravari. I don't know what kind of kick you guys get off of this, but you know what? If you guys love it, I'll keep saying it.
Mr. Ferravari would make it his 7th of the year and ice the game, make it 6-3. Like I said, I think the third period was the best period in this
game.
Can we
talk about the three Penguins in the box at the same time?
I couldn't believe that.
When did that happen?
You didn't see the three Penguins in the box?
Looking over the penalty summary. That's right. That's right. It happened in the second.
Yes.
Letang was doing something or trying to do something unnatural to Tom Wilson. So he got sent to the box for that. Then Jeff Carter high sticked Oshie.
Oh, yeah.
That was a bad one.
And then Dumoulin served up my favorite hockey dish, puck over glass, 3 seconds later. Mm-hmm. So, for a brief point, the Penguins had three guys in the box and they had an extended 5-on-3. And then
that's when Ovi scored
his PPG.
Me and Megan were on FaceTime to Betsy. And Betsy kind of, her eyes kind of twitched a bit because she knows like we're slight, like maybe like, four, depending on the stream, like you could be about like 10, 15 seconds behind. But her eyes went kind of funny. And Megan was like, has somebody scored? And it was like, she was like, you'll find out. And then when it happened, we're like, oh, well, we'll take it. But I said to Megan, I said, I don't know what it is, but if there was a team in the NHL to remind me of them, the team that reminds me of Slytherin is the Penguins. I don't know why, but just seeing the three of them in that box just reminded me of like the three antagonists in the Harry Potter films. I was just like, and just like looking at the fans, I was like, yes, this is definitely a Slytherin camp, period.
because they're naturally evil. All you got to do is bleach Sidney Crosby's hair, and you'd have Draco Malfoy.
Oh my god!
I'm not kidding.
No, you're not.
I'm trying not to imagine that in my head, and I'm like, well, that's a strange look.
So then, do we do? Is Ovi Harry Potter, or would Wilson be Harry Potter?
Well, Ovi is the chosen. He is the chosen one to take over the goal scoring lead.
That's true.
So in a sense,
does that make Gretzky Dumbledore?
Could be. Could be. He is kind of a mentor in that sense.
Yeah,
because, I mean, that's a funny one. We definitely went well.
I can't see him in it. I can't see him in a beard, though. That'd be the thing.
That might be pushing it a little too much.
Yeah, that would freak me out more than a bit.
We could really go down this rabbit hole, you know.
Yeah, we could, but not. In the interest of time, we will. So,
Gretzky's on TNT tonight. I thought he was looking quite good. He's got a better.
Yeah, he's not looking bad. He's in his mid 60s now. So he's not looking too bad for a man his age. Mm-hmm. So
definitely. Yeah.
So we still got one more game to cover. That was the one that happened today. It was a 1:30 matinee game back home at Cap One against the Boston Bruins, rather.
Yeah. They were killing me in that game. I was, again, at the bar, different bar today, watching this one.
So. Well, I mean, Cheryl Ann, if you ever forgot to go there, you'd be a lawyer. You know why?
Because
you'd be past the bar.
Boo.
Moving on.
Yeah, anyway, moving on.
Anyway.
It was beer today, not margaritas, by the way.
Right. So, well, good choice. So it was back home in the friendly confines of Cap One after playing the day before in Pittsburgh. And the Bruins again this time, but at home. And in, oh boy, those all too familiar, what I like to call Sesame Street jerseys. And I thought, okay, nationally televised game plus those hideous blue uniforms equals
plus 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Plus an afternoon game equals this is probably going to be, pardon me, a loss. But
yeah, we had the trifecta there, not in a good way at that point.
I wasn't holding out too much for today's game. I went in with an open mind. I was like, no, we had a hard game. We played hard against Pittsburgh last night. These quick turnarounds, the Caps tend not to do too well, but you know, they got, there was something there. You know, they got some, the things were clicking, they got things right, you know, the puck was falling for them. So, you know, I'll take it. I wasn't expecting a win today, so yeah. I was expecting a point minimum, but
yeah, they picked up the momentum and kept going with it.
Yeah, no, and that's pretty much what happened in this game. Real quick rundown of the scoring summary. Nothing in the first, which surprised me because I figured either the Bruins would jump out or the Caps would get a late goal after feeling everything out, but not to be. It's kind of a sluggish first period. I thought neither team got 10 shots on goal, rather. So kind of a slow start to the game. And then second period, 4:11 in. Carlson, a nice slapper from the point, not the power play point, but the point, assisted by Connor Sherry, who's acquitting himself well, quietly, albeit, doing time on insert service here, line 1, 2, or 3, doesn't matter where you put him. Probably what I like about the guy the most, it doesn't matter where he plays, and he'll tell you himself, he doesn't care.
He said, as long as they put me on a wing, I'm good.
Exactly. Exactly. And
that's why he's my boy this year.
Could not ask for anything more. So he gets the assist on that one. That's his 20th assist, by the way. Not too bad for a guy who only gets about 10 or 11 minutes a night. Okay. So 3.5 minutes later, Curtis Lazar gets his eighth of the year. Nick Foligno, his 10th assist, ties it up 1-1. And then exactly 60 seconds later, Bruins tie it up. Eric Halla, his 14th. Charlie McAvoy, another guy that always seems to hurt the Caps when he plays.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. He started the play, finds Halla, and
I was like, oh, crap, here we go.
This was, yeah. So again, we're gonna talk about the newly rekindled goalie controversy, but this goal probably got me thinking, okay, well, maybe this is why the coach is deciding to do this now, because I think this is the one that Vanacek should have had. It was a bit high to the glove side, but I think Vanacek did not get himself set. He did not react quickly enough to it. Nope. And yeah, he just, even though it started as a turnover on the other end, but I mean, if Vanacek positions himself properly, this is not a goal. This is at the very least a rebound that is steered to the corner harmlessly, but not to be, because I mean, and this is why, you know, we're still talking about who's going to be the goalie. And it's now April, and we shouldn't be talking about that anymore, but we are. So, so it's 8:55 into the second now, and the Caps are trailing. And then, it is looking bad, I'll admit. But then about a little less than 6 minutes later, that guy that other people love to hate, Tom Wilson, puts his big 6'4" self in front of the net and grabs a rebound that Lars Eller had put on earlier and just smacks it right on in. Absolutely love that. As I've always said, you got a guy who's that big, that strong and has hands, you put him in front of the net, good things are going to happen. And you saw it there, 23rd of the year. That's a career high for him. That's 23 goals. If he were a goon, he would not be putting the puck in the net 23 times.
Well, here's a story for you. So I'm talking to the bartenders and we're watching the game, right? And we were actually had just been talking about Wilson and the whole thing, and he scores, and the three of us were like, ah! And everybody else in the bar is like, okay, these people are a little nuts. I think we're going to kind of move a little away from them. But
is it beer nuts, right? Beer nuts?
Beer nuts? I wasn't eating beer nuts.
Well, they said you were little nuts.
No, I went a little nuts.
Oh, okay.
We all went a little, well, more than a little. We're screaming and hollering, and yeah, beer nuts may have been thrown, but
I love the irony tonight, because obviously the goal that the Bruins got disallowed was a tapping off the skate, and then the goal that the Caps scored was a ricochet off a Bruins skate. It's just like, you know, if I was a Caps fan and that happened on the other, if the skate was on the other foot, pardon the pun, I would have been absolutely livid. I'd be like, oh my God, your luck is not going for you tonight. But you know, it was on our side, so I'll take it. But it was just brilliant to see it.
I'll take that all day long.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, that's what you need. You just need a bit of puck work, the puck to bounce off someone or something and just go in.
Yep.
Yeah, I would agree with all of that. So getting back to the scoring, so Wilson's goal ends up being the game tire. And then 7:18 into the third, the next period, Lars Eller, who I think is probably the most improved Cap in the last 7 or 8 weeks, sure, gets his 10th. Nick Jensen on the assist. This would turn out to be the game winner, 7:18 in the third, and the Caps would hang on, and Captain would get the empty netter, courtesy of a Carlson Kuznetsov assist with about 1 3/10 seconds remaining, something like that. Yeah. So I do believe, yes, that does count as a McNugget minute goal. So
it does.
Eat hearty, folks. You who like pink slime, sorry, McDonald's food. sorry. I'm a Wendy's guy. I got to make a dig. So sorry. Brad Silvestro is going to probably kick my ass later. So. Three stars of the game, Eller with the game GWG, Vitek Vanacek, though he let in two pretty kind of bad goals, did end up stopping 28 shots. So that's, let me do some real quick math here. 28, 30. Yeah, I'm glad I spent all that money for a BS in history for all of this. 93% save percentage. Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad for one game against a team that's got some skill, even though they were missing David Pasternak. You kind of wonder how the game would have turned out. Although we were actually missing, as I was kind of weirded out to find this out before the game, but the Caps were actually missing Nick Backstrom in this game for what I heard was something called body maintenance.
Maintenance day or something. I mean, like, I didn't see him get hurt last night, but you never know until obviously they come off the ice and take all the padding off or whatever. But yeah, I think it was last night's game was a bit rough and tumble. We've seen that ourselves, but this is the problem. As players get older, it's kind of the hits seem to get a bit harder.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that hip injury nagged him he was out for a large chunk of the beginning of the season and most of, you know, preseason working on that hip injury. And hip injuries are notoriously fickle. You can be doing great. And then you just tweak it bad one day and you're not necessarily re-injured, but you need to rest it. So.
Yeah. I totally get that. But I mean, upper body injury, lower body injury, body maintenance. I mean,
well, that's what I'm saying. That's probably what they kind of mean by that. He just needs he tweaked something somewhere. He didn't really get hurt, but he needs to fix it. So he's resting, and so it's just a fancy term for he's taking a break.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I get that. But body maintenance, I mean, that sounds like something you would go to Smitty's Auto and Grill for.
I agreed. I totally agree with that. But
I heard that and I was like, okay, well, that, yeah, hopefully that is like a one game thing since it's a back to back. And yeah, we do need to rest him up for the playoffs. So yeah, hopefully it's that and like nothing really, really bad. Like you were saying, maybe he retweaked that hip injury. So
yeah. I mean, that would be my guess.
I'm hoping, but yeah, this was a pretty good game, and it was another exciting game, as just as Grant said, nice back and forth, but good 60-minute effort from our guys, and they overcame the missing Backstrom, who does drive a lot of the offense at times. Yeah. So, you know, a good effort, another good consistent effort by our guys, and it paid off.
You know what's kind of funny is I didn't even notice he was missing until you said he was missing, which actually, in my opinion, is a good thing. If you can watch a team and not notice that one of your best players is not on the ice, that means that team is doing pretty good.
Right. That every piece, every cog in the machine is filling in as it's needed and doing the best that it can. And so, yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point. Because I kind of noticed he wasn't missing either, or as well, because the offense seemed to be clicking when it needed to. I think they were sluggish at times getting out of their own zone, but they were getting the shots and the chances that they needed for sure. So they still managed to do that. And if they, you know, obviously they can't have Backstrom out for a long time, but it's nice to know that if they do miss him in spots here and there, they can still thrive, which is absolutely great. So that was the fourth of the four games that were played, 3-1 week, as I said. So the week starts again tomorrow, at least for us here on the podcast. Quick previews of coming attractions. Next three games to end the week, we're back at Cap One, April the 12th, 7 o'clock puck drop against Philly.
I will be there.
That again, a 7 o'clock puck drop, and Cheryl Ann, I'm sure you'll have reports and pictures, and I want messages this time because.
God! Do you know how many people I'm messaging during the games?
Well, put us all in a group, but at least I'll have.
Well, no,
yours is some of the best material I have for the show. So.
But yeah, I'll be at that game. Side note real quick. I want to, just before we start going down that road.
Sure.
Pittsburgh and Nashville are going into overtime.
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh. I have that game on still. God damn it, Nashville. You had one job. You had one job. Win in regulation.
Well, there was another point. And what reminded me to ask about the three, you know, talking about the three pens in the box for our game. There was actually, they had three pens in the box at their game at one point. I don't know what happened. I'll have to go back and look at it later, but there were apparently three pens in the box during their game. And at some point I happened to turn around and look, and they were showing three pens in the penalty box. So,
which is surprising because they like to brag about how they're one of the least penalized teams in the league.
Yeah. Well, as the announcer yesterday said, they're making up for that now.
Yeah, obviously.
All right. Sorry. I didn't mean to.
No. It's fine. Cause I'm watching that game too. And I'm pissed off that the Preds didn't, you know, couldn't finish them off in regulation, but you know, neither here nor there. If they still lose, they still lose. It's still 1 point we gain on them at least. So anyway,
all depends who Crosby punches in the face.
Yeah, really.
yeah, that's not. We're not even gonna go there.
Even so, you know. Anyway, okay. So to round out the next week, then the Caps go on an extended road trip, but it won't be their last. So the 14th, they cross the border, that's the Canadian border, and play the Maple Leafs. That's a 7 o'clock puck drop up there. And then they cross into La Belle Provence to play the Canadiens, also 7 o'clock puck drop at the Bell Center. And then they head out west the week after on the 18th, 9 o'clock puck drop against the Colorado Avalanche, one of the best teams in the league. That's going to be very interesting to watch.
That'll be a good game to watch.
That'd be a very good game. Yeah, and then the 20th, this is going to be, these next two games are going to be hard for anybody to stay up. 10 o'clock puck drop against the Vegas Golden Showers, Golden Knights.
I like that one, Gil. You've been working on this.
So, 10 o'clock puck drop East Coast time for that one. Vegas fighting for a playoff spot. So, yeah, that's going to be also an interesting game. And then one of the worst teams in the league, the Arizona Coyotes, who, they're going to be like the evicted man who just ran out of his mortgage. They're going to be homeless next year. No, they're not. I'm kidding. They're actually going to be playing in a provided for facility that's in the middle of being built and set up by Arizona State University. I happen to know this for a fact. One of the guys who is assisting with compliance and help with making sure it works for the disabled. It complies with the ADA Act.
Oh yeah.
One of my good friends, who's a grad of ASU, he's one of the supervisors. He's one of the municipal supervisors of this project. So I've kind of got an inside track on that. So if anybody wants to ask about that, I can put you in touch with him. His name's Pete Fisher. He's on the podcast page. So if anybody's curious about that, you can ask him about it, because like I said, he's a man on the inside. He knows a lot about what's going on with this and how so
that's
it's
a, that's an interesting one, because somebody put a different experiment for me. I was reading the comments on it, and someone was like, how would you like it if your favorite NHL team, whether it be any of them, it's almost turned into like you went to a concert, you've now came back from the concert, but you're now going to an intimate gig with only a select amount of fans. I understand there might not be the atmosphere there, but for the fans, it could put a different spin on it.
Well, that's the thing.
Can you imagine the Caps playing like in a 5,000 seater stadium? And like, everybody would have like so, like you'd get so much, you'd see so much more, you'd experience so much more, you'd be so much closer to the action. So, you know, there's that level to it as well. I mean, like, I know Arizona aren't the best team in the league. I've got a soft spot for them. I like them. They've not done much to piss me off. So it's the fans I feel sorry for. Those are the ones that always pay the price, no matter what sport it is. So yeah. But you know what? If they can get that sort of level from it and enjoy it for a couple of years and then move back to a more adequate facility, then yeah, they'll look back on it in years to come and be like, yeah, we were like 3 rows from the front, and you know, season ticket holders for that, and it was great, and it was cheap, and we had such a great time. You know, that's a positive to take from it. It could be, or it won't be.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I'm a glass half full kind of guy. So, like you said, it's if you look at it from that perspective, it could be something that could be a good thing, because I think it may just draw more fans in if they get to experience it from an intimate setting, just like you said. I think it'll go a long ways towards drawing more fans in from that area, because they'll learn, you know, what hockey is all about from a very unique perspective, and they'll want more of it. And, you know, most people, once they've gotten a taste of hockey, they can't get enough of it. And, you know, we're all living proof of that. So, you know, I think this could be a good thing. Now short term, yes, it's going to hurt them. No doubt. They're going to lose out on some revenue, but you know, in the long term, if they really have a long-term plan, they want to stick it out. This could end up being a good thing.
They're not going to lose out on revenue from the NHL, because Gary Bettman said that they're still going to receive the same amount of money as they are now from the NHL. So it's going to be interesting on that level.
Yeah, I think so. They'll be fine as long as they stick to the long-term plan, but who knows?
Yeah, that's Arizona.
That's right. Okay. So anyway, we've recapped all the games, and you got your preview of the next week and a half. So Caps are going to go on a road trip after these next couple games. So it's going to be very interesting for them. Okay, so we've come to the part of the show where everybody gets a chance to speak their mind about what's going on with this team. Does anybody want to open with something that's grinding their gears, or something they want to spend time about? Who wants to go?
I've been waiting since November or December for Vanacek to complete a signing with AJ Sports. and he hasn't been able to do it because COVID, the NHL not allowing it. So finally, once they cross into Canada and they play the Maple Leafs, hopefully he should sign my jersey and get it back to me, and I can get up on my wall with the rest of my other jerseys that are still sitting there to go up on the wall. But yeah, that was
so,
my...
So you got a man in Toronto who's got a jersey for you, and he's going to get Vanacek to sign it and mail it off?
No, AJ's, there's a company called AJ Sports in Canada, in Toronto. That's where they operate off. And they had organized to do a signing with Vanacek. And it was organized just before the draft, because I remember...
I got you,
like,
now.
When he went, and I was like, oh, well, you know what? I'll get a signed photo. I'll get a signed puck. That'll be great. I'll be a keepsake to remember him by. And then when he came back to the Caps, I was like, oh, I'm actually going to get more stuff signed. So I got a jersey made up and sent out to them. And it was kind of like, right, this is when it's going to happen. And then it got delayed. And then it got delayed again. And then it kept on getting delayed. And I'm like, when is this going to be happening? I've been waiting on this jersey getting signed. So hopefully, everything going well, fingers crossed, it gets signed. And when they play the Maple Leafs this week coming. So, yeah, that's the only axe I've got to grip so far. And I won't be the only one waiting for the jersey to get back to them.
No, I wish I could have gotten in on that, because I'm slowly but surely I've become something of a Vanacek fan myself. Yeah, try as we might, we didn't want to, but on last week's roundtable, we did end up talking a little bit about the goaltending to a point. Cheryl Ann, I'll toss it to you. Is that something that's been on your mind? Did you have something else?
Well, yeah, the goalie thing. My whole thing with the goalie, and now at some point, it's like I can't even put it all on the goalies. I've got to start putting some of this on Laviolette. I do not understand what he is thinking, because I guess because we got so used to Holtby, who would play 10, 12, 14 games in a row, even back, including back-to-backs, and be successful. Now, he may not win all of those, but he would be successful. And Laviolette, every time I don't think he's let either one of these kids play a back-to-back to see what they can do. And he'll play them, you know, he might play them 5-6 games in a row, but then they screw up or they do whatever, and he switches them out again. So, like I've said from the beginning, he just has not given either one of them a chance to really shine. And I mean, I put some of it on the goaltending coaching, because, but at the bottom line is, it comes down to Laviolette. He's the one that makes the final decisions on who's going to play. And I'm not a coach. I don't pretend to be a coach. I just say what I see. And what I see is Laviolette not giving either goalie a real chance to be successful. And I've seen
Would you rather that Laviolette came out and said, right, Vanacek or Samsonov is going to be the number one goalie? He's going to be the number one. And then either or is going to be the backup, or like, do you feel that's on? It's not been working so far from what you're saying in your opinion, but would you prefer that he came out and said, right, Vanacek's going to be starting goaltender and Sam is going to be backup? Is that kind of what you would want to see?
Well,
then, or?
Either one. Tell one of them, okay, you're my number one guy. I'm going to play you until you really start screwing up. And then I'll put the other guy in to give you a break. But I think we got spoiled with Holtby, quite honestly. I mean, thinking back over the years, you know, again, like I said, I've said it before, these guys started during COVID. Neither one has played a full season before. Neither one has played a lot of the teams we're playing for. You know, last year they played the same 6 or 7 teams, right?
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of moving parts, and I still definitely feel we are, but you're saying we were spoiled with Holtby for all those years. I feel we're very much in a spoiled position right now with having two, and still in my opinion, two of the hottest rookie goaltenders.
Yeah.
Because that's what they are. And they're young, they're still learning their way. But I just felt like I was glad in some ways that we didn't get a goaltender in the deadline. I'm glad in other ways we just kept who we've got. And it's just,
yeah,
I just feel it's pointless putting a a band-aid on a broken leg. And I think that's what that would have done. I think that would have set the development back years.
Yeah.
Within the goaltending. I mean, like, it's, you've always got to be planning for tomorrow.
Right. And I think part of the other issue, Grant, is they're two very different goalies. Their style of play is very different. So it is hard to pick who's going to be number one, who's going to be number two, because different goalies are going to play differently against different teams.
I mean, the two things I could take away from the last two games, game last night with Sammy and goal, and with Vanacek and goal tonight, is kind of like the first 5 minutes of the game is they seem really lost at sea in a way. Kind of just like yesterday, with seeing like Sammy go up that first goal, like he was way off the crease. Like it was just incredible. And it was the same thing with Vanacek. But as the game goes on, and not all two games are the same, but the games have went on the last two games, they've gotten better. They've gotten more into the stride of the game. And I know it takes some people, some goaltenders, some players to get like the dust settled, get a bit going. But it's kind of like, are the other teams going to see this like crash the net like the first 5 minutes and we'll maybe get a goal, or a good chance we'll get a goal? That's kind of what I'm seeing from there. But they're improving. I don't think they're going backwards, and it's kind of like there is a lot of people within like the whole Sammy or Vanacek camp, or they just hate both of them. And it's like, well, you know what, you string on the pads and you go out and see if you could do a better job. And that's what I
that's
the feeling I get.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who you have in goal if the boys in front of you aren't playing well.
Yeah, and
we have too many times left both of them hanging out to dry. And sometimes they do well and sometimes they don't. And that's, you know, again, that's just all part of the game. And that makes it even harder to figure out who is going to be your so-called number one goalie. So
it's also I maybe think there's some kind of sort of mind games in there where kind of teams coming up against the Caps, like they don't know who they're going to be getting one, like playing against one night to the next night. Like there is no official number one goalie as such, and I kind of think maybe is there a bit kind of like mind games there with Lavia. Like I could be talking utter bullshit, but it's just the way I kind of look at it, the way I digest it. But when they play well, they play well. Nobody can take that away from them. I just think we, as Caps fans, came to a point now where we expect a red-hot goaltender gaming like night in, night out. And it's kind of like, you know, like we've reset this part of the team. Now let's give it time. Let's give these guys time. They've done their time down at Hershey.
Yeah.
The way it's worked out in recent years, it's not probably the way it's went. With Lundqvist, like the only reason Vanacek is there is because Lundqvist never got
the old player to play again. We're out of the same place, so.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, obviously, and then signing that other goaltender as well, that's going to be an interesting one. So, I mean, like, it seems to be like we're not short of a goaltender or two, and that's why I was glad we didn't go for a veteran goaltender within the deadline. And then this whole thing with Marc-Andre Fleury saying, I can't go to Washington, I'm not going there. You know what? That's fine. I'm not going to force anybody to come to DC that doesn't want to be there. And that goes for players who want to get away as well. Like, I've always been that. If you come at public and say you want to go away, you know what? Your bags are packed. You're never going to play for us again.
Right.
So, yeah. But obviously, that's not the case with Fleury. But I'm more glad we didn't sign anybody. But we'll see if this pays off or not. But
it's going to be a gamble.
The goaltenders, they're not the ones who can't. They can't run up the ice and score a goal, you know. And that's just, sometimes I feel like everybody's just too quick to judge them. And it's just like, just give it time.
Yeah. Well, like Gil said earlier in the podcast, he said, you know, watch the whole game. Don't just watch the goalie. Because
definitely.
I mean, there are plenty of times the goalies are left to hang out to dry.
It's not just an our team. You see it on other teams as well, and they're just like,
It's just we focus on our team because it's our team. We don't care about the other team's goalies.
It is. And now to play devil's advocate, sort of, being hung out to dry is one thing if you're a goalie, but you are still the great ones, the better ones anyway. You're still expected to come up with that save, even though, well, it's down to you.
Oh, I don't disagree with that at all.
But, you know, there are a lot out there that would say, well, when that happens, then the both of them have been somewhat lacking.
Well, I mean, prime example is that goal we were talking about earlier in the goal that Vanacek kind of probably should have at least deflected. Mm-hmm. There was no defenseman around. The guy was coming down on the left side and the defenseman was coming down the middle.
Yeah, no, it was a turnover that led to that.
Right.
And the guy had a clear shot.
Right.
But
it was a really good shot. I'm not going to
It was a tremendous shot, but I'm not going to say most goalies, but a good goalie would have seen the play from the other end, mm-hmm. figured out how the shot's going to work out, gotten into position. I don't think he was quite in position for one on that goal, and he didn't react well enough.
Right.
I think he figured it was going to go glove, and he just didn't move fast enough.
Right. But that's what I mean by they're not always going to be successful. You know, you're going to have times when they're standing on their head, stopping every shot when they're quote unquote hung out to dry. And by hung out to dry, I mean, there's like defensemen are either out of position or they got left behind or whatever. I'm talking mostly on the breakaway kind of things. And you can't expect any goalie to be 100% effective on those shots. That's just sort of an example of, okay, he was close, but no cigar. Should he have at least been able to deflect it? Yes. As a professional, as someone who does this for a living, yes, you expect him to be able to do that. But at the same time, you can't expect him to be perfect. And I think a lot of people are expecting perfection from these goalies who are just very young, have never played. And I think that's something they keep forgetting. These guys have never played a full 82 game season.
Right. And I think something you said earlier about having Holtby jibes with something that I said a few years ago on the Sports on the Hill podcast, in that there's a good group of Caps fans that have gotten spoiled over the years the Caps winning so many games, winning in the fashion of, our team scores 5, 6, 7, 8 goals. The other team is lucky to get 1 or 2. Mm-hmm. And I think that element has gotten so used to seeing that they're, well, like you said, Cheryland, the if it's not perfection that's in front of them, then, okay, it's time to get rid of these goalies. Or like I said earlier, they're not watching the whole game. They're only watching the scoring chances. And honestly, if that's the only thing you're paying attention to, look at Grant. He sees the highlights, but he still understands overall makeup of the game, how the game is played. He can break down a guy like John Carlson and his strengths and weaknesses. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you say, well, I watch the highlights, that's not an excuse. You know, you still have to understand the game. It is still possible to break down and truly understand the game. I don't think myself the goalies are 100% the problem. Until I'm not going to say that until I'm proven otherwise, and I haven't been proven otherwise. Nope. And proof positive was this game today, where Vitek Vanacek stopped 28 of 30 shots.
Yep.
Okay, you tell me, do we still have a goaltending problem? I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
We have a goaltending playing problem, if anything. We have a goaltending scheduling problem.
Yes.
And if you want to go really far or farther than that, it's like you said, it's on the coaches. Because why do you want to make this a thing now unless you think that is what it's going to take. The old foot up the arse, to light a fire in said area to make these guys bring it to the next level. I think Vanacek already has, and I think the coaching staff is overreacting to one bad game, and that was the Minnesota game.
Yep.
And they thought, okay, well, we need to overhaul the goalie situation again. It's all open again. So
I saw that I didn't even read the article, and I saw the headline. I was like, I don't even want to go there.
No, I didn't bother to read it myself.
And I don't want to go there. That is probably one of the most boneheaded things that has come out of Laviolette's mouth all year.
Well, I happen to think the media is partially to blame too, because the Tampa Bay game, I'm pretty sure was nationally televised also. Mm-hmm. And they actually had it was TNT. They actually had Tariq El-Bashir on as an off-ice correspondent.
And I like him. I miss him.
I like him, but oh my God, he was the guy that wrote the article in the first place that said the goalies have the Caps have a goalie problem. His face lit up like a Christmas tree when the camera was put on him and they asked him about the goalies. I had to get up, walk out the room and do some dishes.
I was at the game, so obviously I missed that. But.
Well, I had to walk out. I think he's a good journalist, but I think he's a little too, as far as this issue goes, he's got way too much tunnel vision. And I think he's just looking for a good story and not the facts. But for me, okay, you want to open up the goalie competition again? Fine. But come game 82 or sooner, but sometime before game one of the playoffs, you better as hell name a number one.
Yep.
You have to. No more of this. Okay, well, you guys figure it out. That's like at a family dinner. There's one piece of pizza left, five kids. Okay, you guys figure it out. Really?
I'm taking them.
This ain't Chuck E. Cheese. I mean, come on.
It's not.
Figure it out.
I think I've always wondered is a couple of years down the line, I don't think both of them are going to be representing the Caps. I don't think there's going to come a point where there's going to name who's going to be the number one goalie, and I think there's going to be a massive fallout, and I can see the victim being Samsonov here. Well, I think that's what could happen. I think they both know they're good rookie goaltenders. There's going to come a point where one's going to be like, well, I know I'm good, and I could go to another team and get a start, and I can be the number one goaltender, because some old geriatric goaltender's hanging up his skates at the end of the season, and I can make a fresh start there. I think that's what's going to happen. There's going to become a split down the road, and then all these people who cried about this goaltender, that goaltender, are going to be like, "Damn, I wish we were back in the days where we had both playing." And it's going to come to that, and that's what I'm terrified of.
Yeah,
but I love both of them. I think they're really good, and
they're free agents at the end of the year, right?
The both of them are restricted free agents at the end of the year.
Yeah,
and I think that's why Grant is saying there's going to be some sort of an apocalypse, because it may come down to they can only afford to keep one of them, let alone both of them, even though technically, I don't know. I mean, if they're not as worth as much as, you know, has been made out to be, maybe you can get away with paying them, you know, a low ball type of bridge contract. But even so, they've got
somebody somewhere is going to be keeping an eye on the situation.
Somebody somewhere is already keeping an eye on
just
the situation.
Just like Seattle, they were quick to bounce on Vanacek. They've seen the potential, but they went for the quick fix, in my opinion. And it's just, there's going to be a lot of moving parts come the end of this season.
Yeah.
After the playoffs, it's going to be interesting for sure. And hopefully, it's kind of like, I think Brian McLellan had to kind of stick or twist at this transfer deadline to see if he was going to get another goaltender. I think he did kind of twist, but then he kind of had no option but to stick with them. So it's, yeah, there's a lots of moving parts everywhere, and you know, you just let's just see how it turns out.
It is going to be an extremely interesting offseason. Ideally, like Grant said, they would keep them both, because having two goaltenders who have nowhere to go, but look to be on the improvement, trending upward, as it were,
right,
is a good problem to have.
Oh, absolutely. I don't
it's just like a property developer coming into somewhere and it's like, oh well, this place isn't doing good to right now, but you know, give it a couple of years and this is going to be the red hot place where everybody wants to be. Yeah. This is exactly what's happening right now. We're in possession of two of the hottest rookie goaltenders within the NHL. Like, no other rookie goaltenders would be getting this opportunity, getting this ice time. And it's just purely the way that the cookie has crumbled with
not
getting Lundqvist in. Because you typically always have like the more experienced goaltender and then the least more experienced one backing them up. And this time it's not happened. And it's kind of like the Caps are like, okay, oh well, you know, we're in this position.
And I get that makes Laviolette's job just so much more difficult, you know. And again, like I said, it would be nice if he could pick a number one. But again, and like I said, we've kind of circled back around to the same place. I think we're all kind of on the same page here.
Yeah.
Yes, it would be nice for him to pick a number one, but there's a myriad of reasons that it's not real. He really can't right now. So
I think there's also the whole thing between Ryan McClellan as well. Like, you'll know what he's like, and is he kind of leaning on Laviolette saying, look, you know, don't do anything too quickly. Take your time if you have to. There's always more than meets the eye in these situations.
Oh, yeah. And like I said,
these two goalies are red hot rookies. Don't piss them off. Don't get rid of them too quick.
My biggest fear is Sammy will go somewhere that has a coach that can actually keep him focused 100% of the time on the ice, and he's going to be a fucking beast and it's going to bite us in the ass.
Oh, it happens all the time.
That's my fear too. And I don't think unless he has like a whole month stretch where he does nothing but let in soft goals, though, I don't see that happening, because when you spend a number one pick on someone, you're really committed to that person. Unless they turn out to be, show themselves to be a complete lemon, awful. And he hasn't.
But I think he's got so much more in him, and I don't think he's getting what he needs here to develop that.
His development was halted when he got injured in the ATV crash. He has never been the same since. And it took him a while to come back from that. And it's felt that really did hinder him. I think that didn't happen. You know, we couldn't say, oh, I wish it didn't. But you know what it did? I think Sammy would be more advanced, knowledgeable goaltender than he is right now. I mean, like, I think they're pretty even keel. There's not much split in the two of them. And
between the COVID and the off ice stuff and the accident, but that's what I mean by he needs someone to help keep him focused. You know, his focus is hockey.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny because every once in a while, I was talking to a friend of mine. I said, every once in a while, it looks like he's, you know, if the play's down at the other end of the ice for a long time, it looks like he's picking daisies sometimes, you know, because he's just standing there just kind of waiting for the puck to come back. But I mean, I know he's probably not. That's just what it looks like from, you know, up in the middle 200 section. But
once Laviolette or Brian McClellan makes that call, they've got to make their bed and they've got to lie in it, hell or high water.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I really like Vitek too. I really like Vanacek as a goalie. I like that he's more. Well, we talked about this before, Gil. Vitek is more the sort of finesse goalie. He plays the angles. He's more, I guess, technical. Where Sammy is just a flat out beast. He just he's just there, you know. Yeah. Does he flop? Okay, maybe he does. Does he lose his stick a lot? Yes. We need to get some stickum for that stick. Does he come out of his crease a little more than I want him to? Yes. But I think, I mean, all in all, as an all-around goalie, I would probably have to pick Sammy over Vanacek, just because I think if we can get him focused, I think he could, I don't know if he'd be as great as Holtby. I don't want to go that far, but he could be a lot better than he is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And well, I think, and that's not taking anything away from Vanacek. Mm-hmm. I really, really like Vanacek. I like the way Vanacek plays, but in terms of all around goalie and what I think the Capitals are going to need in the future, I kind of got to go with Sammy.
So it's for that reason,
if we can get him focused.
So the regular season comes to an end. We're about to start the playoffs. Laviolette's just, you're Laviolette, you're about to announce who's going to be.
He's going to do what he does.
So for you, it's going to be Sammy.
I would like to see Sammy given a chance. I really would. Yeah. I think he's it also depends on who we play. If we're playing a more finesse team, then I would probably want to see Vanacek in there. It just depends on who we play. And that's the kind of beauty of having two different goalies that play two different styles of hockey, because you can sort of mix and match, if you will.
Yeah,
but totally. It doesn't always work. I'm not going to say that works 100% of the time, because we've seen it not work. But I think, again, we're all sort of circling around to the same page. We've got two very good goalies who play very different styles of hockey, who are very young, who are continuing to develop, who came in at a time when the NHL was in disarray because of COVID, and now they're starting to sort of find themselves. But yeah, I think I would probably start Sammy in the playoffs, but you know, that could backfire and it could bite me in the butt, and that's okay.
True enough. So we're getting a bit long on time here. So, we're actually going to wind up for me. Okay. So again, I don't know why really that this has become a thing again. To me, I thought it looked to me like Vanacek had maybe played his way into the number one. And if you want to make Samsonov the 1A, I would have been fine with that. But now it's on again. I think this is it's a head scratcher to me. But the only reasoning I can come up with, we're not in his head, but the only reasoning I can come up with is he thinks this is what's going to take for both of them to get take it to the next level. That's fine. But for me, if you have to choose between the two of them, I have to take it back to last week's episode when we had our roundtable and when we discussed this, and when Casey Malone said, you always should go with the guy with the better fundamentals, because that's the person who at the end of the day is going to end up giving you the result that you want, because that, if their foundation of the game is solid, you know, then if they have that to begin with, and the team in front of that guy plays the way they're supposed to, most of the time, unless, you know, you get like freak accidents happening or a really bad game or something that, you know, an unlucky bounce or something like that, you're going to win because you have that guy who is at his core or her core, depending on where you're playing, solid to begin with. And so you want that person in net. And for me, that's always been Vanacek. But the merits of Samsonov is he just might have that, I don't know what, that you have to have come playoff time that he pulls that too, where he literally can pull a save out of his ass and save the game. And so it's going to come down to, do you want the guy that's more consistent or do you want the guy that can steal the game? And now that I think about it, this may be the coaching staff's or the head coach's way of stalling before he has to decide on a number one. Now that I think about it, I hope it's not that, but it may be that. But that's really what I mean, because nothing's going to magically change in 10 games. What you've got. And so that's another reason why I don't understand why this competition is a thing. You've got what you've got. That you're going to have. So, yeah, one goalie is going to be hotter than the other maybe in the next 10 games. But other than that, nothing is going to magically change from what you've already got. If you didn't like what you got, you should have made a deal at the deadline. They didn't.
The competition between the two of them is good. I could see where the coaching staff are coming from that. And it's a headache that other teams would love to have within the NHL. And it's just like, but yeah, it's for me to start the first game is Vanecek for me. I just think he's the more rounded goaltender. There's also that kind of Russian thing there, you know, like I've always said, like it's always been pointed out that kind of like the Russians always kind of stick together, and it's kind of like, what influence does Ovi have over the team? And you've kind of like, yeah, you've seen Ovi go up and hug Vanecek at the end of the game. You've seen him go up and hug Sammy at the end of the game. But you know who's, you know where I'm coming from with what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of, yeah.
Yeah, so you're right, Grant. I think that also has a part to play in it, and that may be yet a hidden reason why. And you know, this is something we've been trying to figure out for a while. Why the guys in front of them play a certain way for one of the guys, and then another way entirely for the other guy. Yeah. So you might have struck upon something there as to the magical answer for that. So, yeah,
and that's nothing against the Russians in the team. I love the Russians. I adore them. You know, like I don't know what it is. Like I just love. I've always said that I think the Russian players are more hungrier than the North American and other European players, just with the whole way they've came up and played in Russia. But just yeah, there's definitely that kind of Aurora kind of around the whole like Russian thing, because like they always hang out, they always do stuff together, and you know what, there's totally nothing wrong with that. I love it, team bonding and all that, but there is always that Russian aspect to it, and it's kind of when you are in Ovi's position. I mean, like look when Kovalchuk came in, I mean Kovalchuk, sorry, look at when he came in. It's true.
No, I totally get what you're saying, and again, that could be a factor in all this, but we're just going to have to see. But if anybody's expecting something to magically change in the next 10 or 12 games, it ain't gonna. And so I don't know why this is a thing again. I don't know if this is a way to, you know, give the media something to talk about. I don't know. I think the whole thing's stupid, if you ask me, but I mean, if it gets the guys and the team to play better, so be it. But
to me,
goaltending is not the least of their worries, but one of the least of their worries. I think they may have already solved their own problem in that what they needed to do was find some consistency. That players only meeting may have finally done it. That's what you're going to want to look at and focus on these next last dozen or so games.
Yeah,
No matter
from the start of the playoffs, no matter who's in goals, I'll support them 100%.
Right. No, it's not gonna be anything that's gonna change any fans' mind, although you'll still have people that say, you know, Sammy sucks or Vitek lets in soft goals. You're still gonna have that crowd. You're never ever gonna get rid of those type of people.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
the real people who watch the game for real is what I want to say, because we're all real fans, but the people who actually pay attention to the 60 plus minutes that are actually played on the ice know who's doing what and how well. So it's, you know, and it's that kind of element that we try to attract here on this podcast. So it's really like, Cheryl, you said before, it's really hard to decide because we keep coming back to the same thing. And it's really hard to decide because at the end of the day, we've got what we've got. And I don't see anything really changing unless, you know, the coach actually sees something and says, okay, you're our guy come playoff time. But I think that person is also going to have a very short leash.
Oh, yeah.
So,
and that's the other problem that, like I was talking about before, neither one of them, they're being given very short leashes. You lose a game and boom, you're yanked and the next guy goes in. It's like, right. Hello.
Yeah. And that's really not any way to play. So I hope if there's something to be figured out in that last group of games, it's that. It's the way they're handled, which I said, as I said, is the problem.
Yeah. And that goes back to us being spoiled by having Holtby, who was able to play, you know, 10, 12, 14 games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
You know, neither of these guys has been able to do that. They might get, what, 6, 7? Then they lose one, maybe two, and they're yanked and the next one's put in. Right. So it's – and I don't know if Laviolette did that with his other teams because I didn't really pay attention because I didn't care, quite frankly, or if this is something new because we have these two very young goalies and he's still trying to figure out who they are.
I think the latter of what you just said is the true scenario that's playing out here. He doesn't know what he's got and he's still trying to figure it out. I think that's really what's happening here, but you know, again, like I keep saying, we're not in his head. We don't know what he's thinking, so I don't know.
I want to be in his head sometimes.
Well, all right, so I think this is a good place to wrap it up here. This was another long one for sure, but I hope everybody got their money's worth out of it. Thanks again, the both of you, Cheryl and Grant, for coming on. Grant, I know you especially. It's getting on probably past midnight where you are now.
I just come out for 12:30.
So,
I don't mind it.
Yeah,
I need to get back, practice, get my body trained back up for the playoffs and all these stupid o'clock games.
I'll bet. And they'll be, and if the schedule keeps true, looks like we're going to be staying on East Coast time for a while because it'll be Florida and Miami. So, thank you both very, very much.
Thank you for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
Always a pleasure to have you on, Grant and Cheryl. You were kind of a last minute thing. So thanks for filling in as well.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Yeah. And obviously we're both going to have you both come on at a later date, maybe hopefully during the playoffs too. So
I'm going to be in Italy for the vast majority of the playoffs. Probably I'm going to Italy May 3rd and I'll be back on the 13th. So
nice.
Back here on the 15th.
Just that you've got the plane to come across to Scotland. I've got plenty of beer, scotch, vodka, whatever you want.
There we go.
So nice.
Yeah, I'll tell I'm going with my family. Okay, yeah, I'm gonna take a quick trip to Scotland. I'll be right back.
Nice.
I'll pick you up at the airport. I'll get there you back. They won't even know you've gone.
Okay. All right. So with that, I think we'll stop it here for episode 191 of the Power Play Point podcast.
Wait for it. Go ahead.
So for Cheryl Ann Forster and the Scottish Caps fan, Grant Green, this is the Blue Liner on Point. And in honor of our Scottish special guest, reminding you.
Wait for it.
That a Scottish snack that is gloated about in all locations. Braggis.
God. Oh my God, I told you to wait for it. I told you it was coming.
I know what haggis is. What the hell is braggis?
No. Haggis you can brag about.
Oh my gosh. And on that note, I'll leave you guys to enjoy the rest of your night.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Amen.
Yeah, go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, BlueLiner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.